podcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning and welcome to our worship service today. There are offering envelopes in the back. These will be for next year. I was told don't use them ahead of time, but those are at the back, so feel free to grab your envelopes. And this afternoon, 2 o'clock, we're going to have a game time for everybody. We want everybody who likes to hang out and do board games, come and bring a snack, beverage, favorite game, bring a friend. So that's today, 2 o'clock. Hope that you can join us for that. And also remind you, there's a sign up for visits if you would like to visit with me, wherever, either here at your home, wherever you'd like to do that, you could sign up. There are some times, but just simply let me know what works for you, and would love to do that. And then let me announce our hymns for today, and you can use your ribbons to mark those ahead of time. Our opening hymn, 531, Hail Thou Once Despised Jesus. The hymn of the day, 508, The Day Is Surely Drawing Near. Distribution hymns, 564, Christ Sits at God's Right Hand, 741, Jesus Christ, My Sure Defense, 337, The Night Will Soon Be Ending. Our closing hymn is 768, To God the Holy Spirit, Let Us Pray. You could also keep your yellow insert handy for the readings, but also to sing along with the introit and the gradual. And I think that's all the announcements I have for now. So let's begin with our opening hymn.
Thank you.
Please stand and turn to page 203. I'm sorry, I'm marked the wrong page. Don't turn to 203. I'm sorry. How about 184? Let's start there. Divine Service Setting 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. We'll have a time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the introit.
Glory be to God on high.
And on earth, peace
to man. We praise thee.
We bless thee. We worship thee. We glorify thee. We give thanks.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
O Lord, by your bountiful goodness, release us from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our weakness we have brought upon ourselves, that we may stand firm until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Testament reading is from Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the gradual. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 10. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? And Jesus began to say to them, see that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we approach the end of the church year, the theme of the season shifts to anticipating and looking forward to the day of the Lord. It's the day when Jesus Christ appears again, and he appears in glory to bring an end to this evil age. You have heard it in the readings and in the hymns. There'll be a resurrection. There'll be a judgment. Some will join him in everlasting life, shining brightly in their new resurrected bodies, and some will suffer shame and everlasting contempt. We don't know when that day will be, nor are we to be worried about it, but we can look forward to it, and we can pray for it and be prepared for it, knowing that it is drawing near every day. This morning, we'll take a closer look at the reading from Hebrews in particular, and it ends with encouragement and admonishment to do three things, all the more as you see the day, capital D, draw near. And so what are we to do, and why? It helps us to understand why in a way that perhaps I'll be able to give some insight, but certainly talk about why we do as we wait for the Lord. Picking up in verse 19 from Hebrews, therefore, brothers, the therefore is picking up on the why. Since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So this is the first of the three admonitions. Let us draw near. Well, this is Hebrews' way of talking about the divine service. How do we draw near? Well, we draw near together. As he says, let us. So it's, we do this together. We draw near together as we gather here for the divine service. Ever since our Lord ascended to the right hand of God, the church has been encouraged and admonished to do this. This is why we gather together regularly, why we don't want to stay away, and why we encourage others to gather with us. We draw near because we have confidence to enter the holy places. We confess this confidence at the beginning of our service because of the blood of Christ. His blood was shed to cleanse you, to wash away your sins. You're able to stand in the presence of God because you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We enter in through the flesh of Christ. He is this great high priest over the house of God. And so together, let us draw near to him. We draw near with a true heart, open to God, open to one another, because of our faith in Christ. We confess our sins. We've heard his words of forgiveness. He's cleansed our hearts and our consciences, and we've been washed clean by the pure water of holy baptism. The admonition continues. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Once again, together, let us hold fast our confession. In the divine service, we make confession of faith. We hear confession in the creed, in scripture, in the proclamation of the word, in the sermon, in hymns. We have this together so that we don't miss it or let go of it or get shaky in our confession of faith because we're holding it together, as opposed to trying to do this on our own, to try to remember exactly what is it that I confess? What is it exactly has our Lord done for us? We do this in Bible study, of course, too, where we talk further about this is what we believe and why. This is what the Lord teaches us This is what we tell other people, their fellow Christians and those who don't know the Lord. And the third and final admonition in today's reading, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, one way to stir up one another to love and good works is to simply love and do good works. Not only do others benefit from your love and your good works, but those who receive it, they, in return, may want to love others and do good works for others. And those who observe it may be encouraged, motivated by the example that they've seen of somebody showing love and doing good works. Those who don't know Jesus may actually come to know him through our love and our good works. As they say, they know Christians by their love for one another. Of course, we can't love or show good works to each other if we stay away. We stay away from one another and doing our own thing. But we do encourage one another when we do gather together. Well, how often should we do these things? Every Sunday's nice. And that's when they were meeting at the time, you know, every Sunday. But it says, all the more as you see the day drawing near. It'd be interesting to know how the people received this at the time when Hebrews was written. It was written as a sermon to be distributed and read to those who would be meeting and gathering around Christ and his sacraments. It was written after his death and resurrection, but it was written before the destruction of the temple. So these sacrifices were still taking place. This beautiful temple was still in place. It wasn't until 70 AD when it was destroyed. So there's that kind of a generation of this time that they had this, well, it was an illustration of what Christ would do and why, as it was explained in Hebrews. Some of it we have in today's reading. God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, they had been given this specific, detailed worship for their divine service, God serving them through word and hymns and liturgy for forgiveness and instruction, sanctification through his presence. And this was to preserve God's people because it was through them that the one promised would come in the flesh. And it would also instruct them about who God is and what he's going to do for them through the Messiah, the Christ who was to come. These sacrifices, the burnt offerings, all this was pointing to Christ. The temple was essential. And it was prominent in carrying out the Lord's prescribed worship. And the people living at the time, well, they would have been quite familiar with the impressive structure and the importance and the specificity of the worship itself. The author of Hebrews explains how the temple and worship practices pointed toward and were fulfilled by Jesus. Since Jesus had been crucified and raised from the dead, their faith was to be in him. So there had to be a dramatic shift. Their faith was no longer to be in the temple and the priests and the sacrifices and the offerings and the ceremonial laws and all that they had trusted in to live by for centuries, which was all to train them, point them to Christ. Their reading today, as an example, the author cites the priests and their daily service of offering sacrifices for the sins of the people. The people were sanctified, made holy by God through these sacrifices made by the priest on the altar in the temple. The people could trust in these sacrifices because they were done according to God's word, the right way, by the right people, you know, those priests in the right place in the temple, at the altar, and at the right time. And then the good news of Jesus. Jesus did away with all of this. through his death on the cross. So they no longer had to do any of that. It was all pointing to Jesus. Not only would they not have to do this anymore, but they no longer had to wonder if it was enough. The sacrifices took place regularly and often because they were never sufficient. There was always some doubt. They never would be sufficient, that is, until Jesus, the pure and holy Son of God, gave himself as the sacrifice. He alone was sufficient, and he was sufficient for all sins, once and for all. And not only is he the once-for-all sacrifice, he is also the pure and worthy, sanctified high priest. He came and did what no one else could do. No sacrifices ever would ever have to take place again for sins. They're no longer necessary. The human priests, they would always have to sacrifice for their own sins. Well, that's no longer necessary. Priests aren't necessary. Jesus himself is the priest. The temple is no longer necessary. Jesus himself is the temple. In giving himself as the single, all-sufficient sacrifice, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified, made complete. The blood of the bulls, the goats, the lambs, the rams, all those animals, would be never be enough. But the blood of the spotless lamb, the Lamb of God, sent by God to take away the sins of the world, was. The prophet Jeremiah is quoted in today's reading, reminding the hearers of the words of Scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit and also speaking the gospel into their ears. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Done away forever in Christ. Had we lived at that time, we may better appreciate the price paid by Christ for our sins. You know, consider the beauty of the temple, the majesty of that temple, and ponder those countless animal sacrifices. We could appreciate the duty and the devotion of the priests dedicated to the temple service of the Lord, and we might appreciate that privilege of drawing near in that temple with all the burnt offerings and sacrifices and knowing this is what God has called us to do. Receive forgiveness and blessings, sanctification. To those Jews who are given faith to believe in Jesus, his fulfillment of the Old Testament, and all the laws, was remarkable. Another part of temple worship touched on in today's reading is the Day of Atonement, that once a year, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant was kept, and this is where the Lord himself would reside. To enter into that Holy of Holies was to enter into the very presence of the living God. And to protect the people from harm, it was only the high priest who could enter once a year, and only with the prescribed sacrifices and cleansing. Among the miracles that took place when Christ died on the cross was the tearing of the great, thick curtain in the temple from top to bottom, as if the Lord himself grabbed hold of that curtain, tore it in half, as he announced on the cross, "It is finished." The curtain separated and prevented entry into the Holy of Holies. The Hebrews author tells us that we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. His flesh was ripped open, ripped by the spear while hanging on the cross, and the blood and the water poured out from his body, the true temple. And Jesus has opened for us a new way by his blood through his flesh to enter into his presence. The author of Hebrews proclaims the realities that we have in Christ to encourage us and to admonish us. Draw near, hold fast, consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Knowing what Jesus Christ has done for us prompts us to
to respond. Yes, the day is surely drawing near. As Jesus said in today's gospel, do not be led astray. Be on your guard. You will be hated by all for the sake of Christ's name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. So how do you endure? Draw near. Draw near to the Lord in the divine service with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Hold fast the confession of Jesus Christ and the promises that you received in baptism. And consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. And let's do this together, all the more as we see the day draw near. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Together we sing the offertory. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church throughout the world, that we may be ready at all times for Christ's glorious return, and that our Lord would give us zeal to proclaim his coming to the ends of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. For all pastors and ministers, that they may preach the pure doctrine of God's saving word, which will never pass away, and that those who hear with faith may have the peace that passes all understanding. Let us pray to the Lord. In thanksgiving for the fruits of the earth provided by God's hand, that he would supply the needs of all who grow, process, and distribute our food, and that we may be moved to share these bountiful gifts with our neighbors in their time of need, let us pray to the Lord. For all in authority, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of Wisconsin, and all judges, that God would graciously enable them to lead according to his will and for our good, let us pray to the Lord. For those who are in difficult and trying times, those who are in prison, the sick, especially Jeff, Dan, Lewis, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Arlene, Michael, Mark, Jesse, Sarah, Diane, Kara, Leah, Erno, Jeff, Cookie, those who mourn,
especially the family of Arlene Hakes, and the lonely and homebound, that God would grant them comfort according to his gracious will. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who come to the altar today, that God would prepare our hearts and our minds to welcome with thanksgiving the sign and seal of Christ's new and eternal covenant in this sacrament, and so look forward to his return and the confidence of the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Receive the blessing of our Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it was in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is... Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper,
And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.